a disturbing pattern of profound investigative missteps. That's how the judge is looking at how the Department of Justice is conducting this investigation into James Comey. And that is opening up a whole host of questions as to, well, what is the DOJ doing to go down this road of fundamental misstatements of the law? Let's talk about it with Matthew Schneider, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan. Matthew, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chris. It certainly didn't go very well for the Justice Department in court, and there were some bitter comments made by this judge, but the story is not over. The Justice Department still gets to respond. They still have some time to make their arguments, so we'll wait and see what they have to say, which should be in a couple days.
Well, this critique doled out by Judge William Fitzpatrick is a scathing one. And so what are the claims made here? Why does this judge believe that there were missteps? And then what do you expect from the DOJ in response?
The whole issue came about because the defense in this case, Comey, was looking to obtain the grand jury information. And ordinarily, in any prosecution, what the grand jury does, that's secret. And the public never finds out about that. And oftentimes, the defense never really gets to pry behind the grand jury doors to find out. But the parties agreed that, well, the judge can look at what the grand jury did and do it in chambers in his privacy of his courtroom. And the judge can decide. Well, the judge did that in this case and looked at the grand jury transcripts and listened to the recordings and looked at the evidence that the government presented to the grand jury, and the judge did not like what he saw. He was disturbed by this. He said that there were a number of errors. Some of these errors could be fatal, and he placed the blame there at the U.S. Attorney Lindsey Halligan for things that she said apparently in front of the grand jury and also things that she did related to the case.
Matthew, the judge suggested that prosecutors may have indicted first and then investigated later. From your experience, how serious a violation is that? How often, if ever, does something like that happen?
Well, that depends on really the facts and circumstances. I mean, that could come in different forms. If the only way you can get an indictment is to present evidence to the grand jury. And I think really what the judge is saying is that the government formed in its mind that it was going to bring this indictment. But in order to get that, it leaped through a couple of hurdles. For example, there was some prior evidence in this case that there were communications between Comey and his lawyer. And the judge said it looked like the government looked at that information and listened to those communications. And we all know you can't listen to communications between a defendant and the defendant's lawyer. And the judge basically said, look, it looks to me that they were so determined to get this indictment that they blew through those other things. And in addition to that, the judge said that the prosecutor made these statements in front of the grand jury that were improper and more investigation needs to be done to find out exactly what took place.
Matthew, one judge is looking at the legality of Halligan's appointment. This judge that we started talking about is looking at this case specifically. And one of the issues here is that did they turn everything over that they needed to turn over, or are there gaps?
So that's a good point. There was a question about was there a gap in time as to what actually took place with the grand jury. Now, I know that the court is looking at that, but I know also from my experience there's always a gap in time because the grand jury does their deliberations, the prosecutor's not there, and then you have to walk from the grand jury room down to the magistrate courtroom to return the indictment. So there always will be some time lag there. That's not unusual. But what's different about this hearing is previously, Comey had argued a bunch of different things. He'd argued that you're prosecuting me vindictively, you're prosecuting me selectively, the appointment is invalid. This hearing that just took place is something completely different that hasn't been raised. It's the judge saying, I think there was misconduct in front of the grand jury, and that's a new issue that was not anticipated before.
Yeah, and it looks like one of those issues because, of course, the prosecution bears the burden of proving beyond a reasonable doubt. Well, the judge in this case, it seems, said that because of the way the prosecutor was handling the grand jury, that it's actually James Comey's burden to bear that and prove innocence as opposed to the government proving guilt. So does that skew the way that the grand jury looks at things? And then at some point, does this grand jury, I mean, the results of this grand jury investigation, does that get thrown out? How does that work?
Well, if it's true that Lindsey Halligan said to the grand jury that Jim Comey doesn't have a right to not testify, if that is true, and we don't know that because the judge's decision was redacted, so we don't know precisely what was said. But look, the Fifth Amendment says very clearly, no person shall be compelled to be a witness against himself. You can't tell the grand jury that. You can't say that. That would be prosecutorial misconduct if that took place. And even if it is prosecutorial misconduct, however, we don't know what the remedy is. Even if you threw out this indictment and said this is all invalid, there is another section of federal law that says in certain circumstances, the government gets 6 months, and within 6 months, they can bring the indictment again. And I'm certain that the Justice Department will argue, if it is thrown out, that it falls under that provision. And the Comey team will argue, no, that doesn't apply. You should just throw it all out. We don't know yet. We haven't seen those arguments.
Matthew, this case also reaches beyond Comey because the same prosecutor's appointment is being challenged in the criminal case against Letitia James, the New York Attorney General. Could this ruling have some ripple effects across other politically sensitive cases?
Well, the reason why this one is a little bit different is because the grand jury indictment itself was signed only by one person, Lindsey Halligan, and she's the only person that appeared in front of the grand jury. In all these other cases, which is standard, there's somebody else involved. There's not the U.S. attorney necessarily, but there's a line prosecutor and maybe some other line prosecutor and a supervisor. There's always these different names on the indictments, and that's true in all these other cases, like the one you mentioned. But this one here, it's only Lindsey Halligan. And if there is a mistake, there is no line prosecutor to back her up on this. That's also why this one is particularly interesting.
And this is the end. We have like 20 seconds, but she did this days after being appointed. That's a lot of work to do on one person, is it not?
It is, especially because this grand jury proceeding apparently lasted a couple hours. That's pretty hard to do if you've never done this before.
Right, she never prosecuted a case before.
Right, that sounds pretty challenging to me.
Yeah, Matthew Schneider, always appreciate it. Thanks for your thoughts.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk again soon. Something to watch, certainly.
Yeah. I knew he would think that. Uh-huh. He knows about the work.
No, yes, about it. We'll take a break. More next.